Mark 7:32. And again, parting from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And he beseeched him to put his hand upon him. He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed. And saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged him that he should tell no man. But the more he charged them, the much more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Father, I pray just for the filling of your Holy Spirit, and help me in ministering the church tonight, and bless my dear wife and feel her just giving a testimony tonight, and be with Sister Pat in the nursery. Fill her with your Spirit, dear God, and help her ministering to the children. I thank you for the good services we had this morning, for the visitors who came, and the privilege once again to be with your people, and to know that your Spirit is here with us, God, and when we fellowship this way, and to be edified by your word, to have our hearts retuned and focused upon eternity and spiritual things. How often we need that, God. And once again, we pray you do that tonight, and bless our time together, and direct me in the things that you'd have me to share as well. Father, we pray. We thank you for the word going forth from this place, for the love of your Spirit which is here, for the truth and the righteousness which we preach from your word, Father, and how the world needs it, how the world needs direction, right and wrong, and eternity, life and death. God, so many things. And we thank you to be privileged to have your eternal word. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've asked my wife to just come and give a testimony about her meeting with the Silent Word Ministries group over there in Lansing, Michigan. And she's been serving the deaf a lot of years, and church had the privilege to send her over there. And that ministry there was designed just for deaf teaching in churches, and it was a ministry of like faith, so it was a very not a common opportunity. And don't see it out here in the West Coast much. That's why she went all the way to Lansing for that. So, but I just asked her to come and share what the Lord would lay on her heart regarding a testimony regarding that. Amen. Would you do that, honey? Thank you.
Is she going to sign or speak?
Well, I hope she's going to speak.
Right.
She does speak like a voice.
You did. And you did.
And we understood.
Yeah.
I understood every word you said in English.
This is the theme of the trip.
Amen.
And that was what the pastor just read.
One of the reasons I wanted to go, I was curious as to how that was going to work. Silent Word Ministries, I've been getting... I use their resources, and I look at their website, and I read what's going on there, and I, try to learn from what they do, because they know what they're doing in the deaf community. They have deaf workers there. So not hearing workers to the deaf, but deaf to the deaf, and which is really what I'd like to see happen here as well. So I was really curious, and the place where it was in Holt, Michigan, was at a church. It's a hearing church, but they have a huge deaf ministry as well with a deaf pastor and everything like that. So it's pretty exciting to see. And so I got to meet some of those very dear people. And they're just sweet, sweet people. Made some just quick relationships. I was telling Pastor that I got up Wednesday morning, and by the time I went to bed Saturday night, I had slept a total of probably 14 hours out of all those days. So it was jam-packed, of course, with the trip and all the details with the flying, and which was a bit rough, but the Lord used it, and I was able to meet some people there. Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, and it's amazing how many people, and how you always find out what their religion is. I don't know, how does that always happen? Anyway, but it was good. It was very good. It was worth it. I knew it'd be hard, and the Lord strengthened me to go. So it was so full. So it started Thursday, about 5:30, and we went till 9:30. And the first one was about deaf culture. I've taught on deaf culture, and many of you know deaf culture. You're learning deaf culture because you know it's different. You know, very touchy because you flash lights and you hit the table, and you know it's different how you get their attention and how you talk to them and everything like that. But it was on deaf culture, and one of the things that he addressed, I really, really appreciated. John Barr is the, I believe, director of Silent Word Ministries. He's also an interpreter, a professional interpreter, has RID certification as I do, and I was very curious as to how all this was going to work because he offered CEUs for this, and I thought, okay, so it has to meet some criteria for professional development. And I was wondering how, because I really wanted the spiritual aspect of it as well, and I would have gone whether I got CEUs or not. But the fact that he offered CEUs was just kind of like God's bonus, you know, his handful of purpose there. So I was amazed at how he blended the two. He had such a spiritual, we got preached at, we had devotions and everything, and yet it was tied to the professional development. He would use how to interpret in emotional situations, you know, and when it's emotional preaching and everything. And then for the interpreters, the deaf people, we were separate a few times, and he would focus more on like John Kennedy's speech, Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, those kinds of speeches, you know, what kind of emotion are you looking at? What kind of, you know, things are involved? So it had a lot to do with those kinds of things, but it just was amazing how he tied it to the deaf ministry and how much, you know, those things affect the deaf people when they come to your church. But the first one was about deaf culture. And one of the things it started off with is picture an event that you have, and would a deaf person be comfortable there? Why or why not? And what kind of things would you think about? And as I looked at that, I thought about church, of course, you know, because that's my first love. You know, I do the other because I earned money at it and God gave that to me. But this is it right here. And if that all went away, I'd still want to do this. And I looked at that and I thought, they're comfortable here. And a lot of that, that's not me. That's you making them comfortable. I'm just so thankful that we have. He talked about churches where during, in between sessions, we would talk. And I met interpreters from other churches. And they were just starting out. And they were just growing. And they would tell me how their pastor puts them in the back of the room and doesn't want them to be a distraction, and so the deaf people have to be kind of hidden away because they don't want the interpreter to be a distraction. I get that. How does that make the deaf people feel? They're not included.
and they don't feel part of the church, why would they want to come? And I got to thinking about our church, and I thought, I'm blessed to have my husband. Of course, God knew what he was doing, you know, but he's learned deaf culture for many, many years. I talked to him on the phone one night, and I said, guess what happened? I said, I sat down and talked to a couple of deaf sisters during lunch, and I said the next day, or that night, it turned out I was the last one to come into the gym where they were having the dinner. And at lunch, I had talked with them and everything, and the one of the sisters, she's waving to me, and she's pointing to the chair like, you're sitting over here with us. And I went over, and her other sister, who is a very scowly type person, the other one is a happy-go-lucky, it was the opposites. Well, the scowly one, we're talking and everything, and she asked me about the motel room, and I was telling her about the man, and always a Jehovah's Witness, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, but very nice, and the room is, okay, you know, is nice. It was a very low-budget motel, but it was safe, as it was in a safe place. That was my main concern. And she said, do you have an interpreter with you? And I said, no, I'm just by myself. And she said, well, how are you communicating with him? And I said, well, he's hearing. And she said, and I said, I'm hearing. She was shocked. Well, when I told my husband that, he knew immediately what that meant. And he was happy for me because he knows deaf culture. Stephanie, you know what that means. Isn't that cool that you know what it means? It means, oh, I thought you were deaf. That means you are accepted. And you all know that. Most people would think, why would you think I'm deaf? They might take that as an insult because they don't know deaf culture. I love this church. I love that people want. And so when we are planning this event, I met a man named Alan Shane. I'm pretty sure that was it. I keep getting it wrong. I say Shale. It's not Shane either. It's, no, I think it is Shane. Anyway, that's his name. And he gives his testimony, and it's very good as well. He gave his testimony, preached one night as well, I don't know when everything happened, but he preached. But he is willing to come. He is a missionary to the deaf. He works for Silent Word Ministries under their umbrella there. And I started thinking about it, and I'd been praying and praying and praying that the Lord would use this to give me a heart for deaf people. And I know he gives us each, you know, whether it be the elderly or people in prison or children or you know, certain kinds of people. He does tend to, you know, some people work with teens, some work with children. He's given me this. And yes, we work with others as well, but this is my heart. But I just feel like I needed to learn something. And so as I'm getting ready for church this morning, I was getting so excited because all these ideas started coming about having a deaf event, and maybe annually. It's going to cost a little bit of money to do it. But I believe that this church would do it. And I believe that many would be involved in it. And I pictured Stephanie, and I pictured Anna, and I pictured, how many of you, and Jean, just involving the deaf people and helping to plan it, Miriam, and so we're all very excited. We were talking about it this morning, and I could see Jean was excited. I got to tell you what Jean said. He's so funny. Love Jean, just love Jean. He can't understand why everybody, why doesn't everybody come here? This is the best pastor. He's the best preacher. I know. We all agree. Well, we were talking about a big deaf event, you know, have pizza and, you know, pop and cookies or something, you know. Just have a deaf event, invite students from Western because they're required to attend a deaf event. Invite, of course, deaf, you know, we know Randy and Donna and my friend Anna Abney, you know, that I work with. And I mean, we know deaf people. Miriam knows deaf people all over the place. And they know how to advertise it, and they know I need to get the deaf people involved. And then we advertise this,
And then, so it's going to cost some money. But I said, and invite this missionary here to speak during that time. And of course, the gospel and everything like that. And then also have him Sunday, if that's agreeable to pastor, you know, and then the hearing church, the whole church would be able to, whoever couldn't come, you know, could come on Sunday. So that's our idea. Well, I said something about, well, but when we do that, we need to have the preaching first before the pizza and the pop. And Gene said, preaching first. he said otherwise we'll never get to it because the deaf people will be chat 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 all night long. Anyway, I really was so thrilled to be there, and everybody was shocked that I'd come so far. And I said, but this is what I needed. It was what I needed, and I knew God had me go. And I thank you all for sending. Very appreciative. And I thank you all for loving deaf people. This is a comfortable place for them. And when I saw that on there, and I thought, they come in here and there is no difference. They're not pushed aside. And they're not forgotten. And they're often included in a lot of the kibitzing. And I just appreciate it so much.
That was good, wasn't it? Amen. Jesus took not upon him a form of angels, but he took upon him a form of men. He came down and put on flesh so that we could have that closer fellowship with him. That's what my wife has done for so many years with the deaf. She has tried to put that deaf flesh on, to get into the deaf culture, to know where they're at, and to be able to minister to them. That's of God. We're blessed as a church to have a deaf interpreter that cares for the deaf the way she does, and to be just thrilled to death to be thought of as, oh, You're deaf. No, well, we thought you were deaf, not hearing. You're not hearing, are you? You're one of us. And I tell you, it's the burden of the Lord that has driven her to that. She works on the side. That, like she said, that stuff, I know her heart, it's on the side. If that goes, that's not going to change things here. And she was doing work for ministering for the Lord and carrying out that burden for the deaf long before she began the other stuff. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for that. You know, we see Brother Gene back there with he's just thrilled about doing the video. You know, he loves doing that. You know, and he'll stand there a long time. You know, just adjusting that camera and watching it and doing the video. It's a great blessing. And to see that hunger for the Word of God that he has, I tell you. And by the way, I think that many in our church have, hearing and deaf alike. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And I'm thankful for the good fellowship that we have. And we'll pray and continue that God will direct and prepare in that deaf event. And be wonderful if we had some more, be able to come regularly after that, you know, if some get saved, you know, and be wonderful and see ways to incorporate where they can minister, perhaps teach other. Brother Gene's already starting to do it with the camera and our online ministry with the interpreting that's on the website, and it's a blessing. And we're thankful for that. All right, yes, honey.
I forgot to mention about that. I told you about them number of ministries is thinking about putting our website in their newsletter.
Oh.
Because the deaf people can access preaching through live streaming.
Yes.
But they don't have an on-demand resource at this time.
Right.
So Silent Word Ministries is coming.
Yeah. So she's saying a lot of them previously they couldn't just look up a sermon unless it was happening live. No place, you know, with an archive like we have, where they can just go and click anytime they want, when it fits their schedule, and listen to a sermon. That's a blessing. So, boy, it's wonderful the way God works. All right. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left tonight, I turned it over to the Lord, and he's doing just exactly what he wants to do. And so I'm just going to read a couple missionary letters. We have a couple missionary letters, and we'll call it evening here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to see how he does, bring us together. You know, none of us are perfect. I've tried to learn sign language a few times and failed and got discouraged, and I know a few signs here and there, but sometimes when you love somebody, they just know it. And you don't always know their language, and I think that God translates that from a lot of the folks here, that we love the deaf. You know, we learn that everybody that comes in that door, there's no difference between us. You know, what we all need is Christ, amen? And when we get saved, we're all the same. There's two kinds in the world, sinners and forgiven sinners. Two kinds of people, sinners and forgiven sinners, amen? And the rest is about Jesus and about people knowing him and loving each other, loving him. And we're thankful for that. All right, thank you, honey, for that testimony. I appreciate your heart. I know the Lord's touched you in a great way there. And continues to work on us all and guide us all. Amen. All right, I'm going to read this letter. I'm going to begin reading it. And I'm not sure if I haven't read it here before. So as I begin to read it, if you've heard it, raise your hand, please. It's from Brother Bernard, but it's a June letter. I read one recently from him. Usually I'll mark them off, and I had this in my Bible, and I didn't have it marked off, so it's a June letter. And Brother Bernard, of course, is our missionary to Curacao. And Brother Bernard writes, it has been very warm in the last 2 months with no rain to even water the plants, and it felt as dust is all over because of the dry ground. He said, it's not unusual weather for this time of the year, and to a few individuals I know, it is not bearable. As for me, I just simply bear it. No matter how uncomfortable it might feel, sometimes the work of reaching out to the lost must go on. I don't think I've read this letter yet. In light of that, the one person that would consistently be ready and available to go on visitation together with me has been absent for almost a year. And my wife had read this, and we were wondering if that was Mr. Humphreys or not. So some of you might remember that name, but he's not been gone for a year off the island. He said the reason for this is that he's not been on the island, and I have not heard anything concerning when he might return. The main issue is when he'll be back. With one person being gone, one other has returned to attending on Sunday mornings who has not been attending for more than 2 years. That makes the attendance number to remain the same. Hopefully the decision to return back after all this time being away will be more faithful. In addition to this person returning, I have more contacts from two more individuals that have been witnessed to but never became believers. One invited me to his home and has said that he is willing at least to come on a Sunday morning if I would pick him up. My prayer is that this gentleman can come to know Christ as his personal Savior. Beginning in September, I will not be here for approximately 5 months. I'm now planning to visit every supporting church and a few medical appointments during that time. The medical part is what is going to need most of the time and the main reason for the extended stay. This will be the first time I will be absent from the island for such a duration of time. It has been something I have often avoided, but now do not have another option. One request that I have is the desire to have the larger room that is in the building that we currently meet on Sundays. We have been meeting in a room that was okay, but the other room is about three times more space. I'm going to talk to the owner about that option to see if they would be willing to let me have it and at what price. May the will of the Lord be done with his desire in his service. Bernard Sylvan, he has a verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, the saying, commit thou to faithful men and shall be able to teach others also. Amen. Let's pray for Brother Bernard and the ministry there. Lord, we thank you for Brother Bernard and his ministry there in Curacao. Father, it's hot there in the summertime, as we've heard. I don't know what his situation is with his apartment. He probably has air conditioning, but God, he's out serving you. He's not staying inside, relaxing. Lord, he's feeling the heat, literally. And Father, we pray that you'd help him, God, and give him grace, as he also has medical problems. We pray for grace and healing. We pray as he comes back on his furlough that you'd give the doctors wisdom and grace and direct him, Heavenly Father, to so they can help him with his medical concerns. He doesn't share a lot of details about them. I know he has some problems with his back, and many here, at least several here, can have empathy toward that. And Father, please help him by your grace, by your power. Give him strength, grace to bear whatever it is that you would allow would to continue. And Father, grace and healing where it can glorify your name. And would you help him and guide him? We pray that churches that are supporting him would be encouraged as he visits and might be perhaps even able to raise his support where you'd call on that. And help him, Father. We pray for this one gentleman, perhaps it is Mr. Humphreys, that he might come back and have a revival, Father, and should he come back to the island and be faithful to the services. And help him, Heavenly Father, in that. And we pray for this man who's come now, hadn't come for a couple of years, and Father, we pray for his salvation, for your working there, dear God, and that you'd work in that in a mighty and a powerful way, Heavenly Father. And Lord, also he's been considering this other room in this building where he's at, larger, more space, and I wanted to talk to the owner about that. Pray you'd give him grace and wisdom to do that, Father, and you might even speak to the owner and give him favor in the eyes of the owner, dear God. And the heart of the king is in your hand, and as the rivers of water, you turn it with us wherever you will. And Father, we know the context of that statement and where it belongs, Heavenly Father, and we trust you and ask you to work, Father, that he may find that favor, and Lord, that you just help and provide for him there. Thank you for our dear missionary, Heavenly Father, and you may not have a wife in the plans for him. Father, you have given him grace all along. If you do, Father, we pray that you just bring one in your time and help him in that, dear God. And we thank you for these who serve you in whatever calling that you have. You don't call all to marriage. You call some that are single, both men and women, to serve you in different ways, Father. And we understand that, for your word tells us that plainly. Father, we thank you that we could have fellowship with Brother Bernard, both in prayer and in financial support in this gospel ministry that continues there in Curacao. And Father, we thank you. We praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. All right. And I'm going to go ahead and just stop there, and we'll be done a couple minutes early tonight. Brother Charlie, would you come and dismiss us? Amen.